country, way by Arizona. That's one of the best looking places in the world, you know.
It's really quite different from the black problem. It's a different
Blacks also have very great accents on my abilities. The Mexicans, only those who live with them and know them can appreciate my way to school with them, of course, beyond one. You'll have a chance now to get out there about every 8 months or so. Problems in Arizona.
Drawing on all agencies, I think, not only the HCW, but cooperative
collectively with others outside of it in the development of a more unified, comprehensive policy planning capability within the government in the field of health. We're getting so big, even now the federal government accounts for maybe a third of health expenditures. And with new programs, we would directly, at least indirectly, affect more. So we have to have the capacity to think through the consequences of what we do and see it as a large, as an interlinked system. So,
what was the phrase again? A series of
insoluble problems, raised from the great population.
Yeah.
There it is.
NIH, NIMH, some of those entities have given us the appearance of being more or less autonomous.
Sure, may want to be.
And I think we run into real problems in the narcotics area because NIMH is sort of unto itself over there. And when you get into interdepartmental problems, we don't have quite the same relationship that we do with a secretary's organization in a department. It would be hoped that Dr. Duvall can get a line around some of those things so that we can tie it into the
if you'd like me to, I will.
We'd like you to.
That's a start.
Now, this is awfully important to us.
Well, there's been a long history, you know, related to Mrs. Lasker and the Axis and so forth, and Jim Shannon, that we're still recovering from, in a manner of speaking. But this deserves a more rational alignment that's had in the past.
Well, this is subject to the Secretary, but I would hope, for my part, that we could feel every morning when we woke up that we knew pretty well what NIH and NIMH were going to do that day. And as it is now, it's anybody's guess.
Well, we've made a lot of, we are making progress.
Well, you've come a long way.
Marston's, for example, who has a difficult line to walk, has been very open. He's the NIH director who came today with the... He's a good soldier, but he's got to have some kind of confidence as part of the constituency and the troops that he leads.
We've got a very tough thing in narcotics in rallying together the Department of Defense and their efforts, AGW and their efforts, and the Department of Justice and their efforts. And it seems the only way we can effectively do that is to pull it all together here at times. And
what do you think, for example, of wonder why defense is in the present time? Europe says there's a problem in Europe. It's not whether we're going to withdraw forces, but what are we going to do about drugs? So that from the moment they arrive, over half, within maybe 2 hours after they are, whatever they do, get their uniforms and so forth, they're accosted by a pusher and they get everything from a hard stuff to this and that and the other thing. And so, now that doesn't mean that same thing would not happen if they were to stay in the cities from which they came. It does mean, however, that just as we all remember when we were in the service, or we remember when we went on a convention, but you're on a plane, so you're in town. These people don't have any inhibitions. So they go much further than they would if they were home, and they go damn far home. So I think the defense thing is terribly important to pull that in some way or other into a coordinated deal. Let me say another word, too. Of course, so we've got this amount of publicity We're all intelligent enough to know that we may not find a quick answer. Certainly, there may not be an easy one to find. But in any event, we'll do something. I mean, the progress is moving along here. Very good for some time. But very great need, the reason that we set it up the way we did from the standpoint of concentrate public attention dramatically on a field of research and health care and so forth, which everybody can understand. And and the only way you can concentrate that dramatically is not simply say, well, we're going to put another few $20, $30, $40 million into an existing agency where they think it all goes down the rat hole, but to say, now this is going to be different. Now, it is going to be different because I actually said now it's going to report to the president and I'm going to watch and so forth and so on. But I must count on the other hand, I've got to count on the experts, you out there, and whoever that, who's that called?
Marston.
You say he's pretty good, huh?
Yes, sir, he's excellent and very loyal.
Well, the point that I mean is we've got to, you fellows are going to take this, but rather than just the main thing you must not do in setting up your own now little bureaucracy is to become part of it. All people who come to Washington have the great, the bureaucracy is so big, it's like quicksand, and you step into it, you think you're going to make it, all that sort of thing, and then you just submerge and become like all the rest. You do that, you fail. Now that doesn't mean that you don't work with the existing people, the bureaucrats, and their loyal civil services, and that the other thing. But it isn't the way many times to get things done. Sometimes you've got to shake them, kick them, twist them, and so forth. Don't it's the, 95% of the people who come into government come here saying, well, I'm going to change them, and then end worshiping the bureaucracy. That's true of the State Department people, I mean, the Foreign Service. It was once said, you know, I would say, talking to an old Foreign Service officer recently, who is now retired, and he pointed out, he said that in the 20s and 30s, in the Foreign Service, it was the Foreign Service of the United States of America. And then he said, and about the, during the 50s, it became the Foreign Service of the Secretary of State. Now it's the Foreign Service of the Foreign Service. Now that is an unfair, perhaps, description of many Foreign Service officers, but it's not far from the mark. The difficulty is that in every, it is true of the most highly intelligent, that every person who works in any kind of a system becomes so enamored with the system, so much a part of it, that he fights for the system rather than getting something done. And the best thing that a man from the outside can do is to come in and use the system and not have the system use him. That's the real question. That's what Elliot's been doing. It's great command. You've got it very subtle, because if you set yourself up as against those who are in the system, they'll kill you. So you've got to use them, but not let them know you're using them. But by all means, never let them use you. You must never let them use you. When I say them use you, I'm not talking about any particular individuals, but the great majority really, because they are basically not big men, are part of it, and they're petrified at the thought of anything changing. Petrified because it affects their lives. So you better come in and get it. Now, but talking about the system, of course, and looking at the other side, this system is not only government, it's private. The medical profession is a system. And, God knows I would take our medical system over anything in the world, even as it is, because as I say, I'm not interested when I get sick as to whether somebody's going to pay the bill. I want to be sure I get a good doctor. And their system's all hell in Burma, they got free medicine. But God help you to get sick in Burma, and kill you. But so, what we want here is not the Teddy's free medicine. What we want is it's got to be something that'll work with the existing troops that we got. And but believe me, Elliot has heard me say it, and so has Hector. We've got to realize that our doctor friends are frankly looking at them. They're the worst enemies. I told them years ago. Elliot will remember this. Chris Herder and I and a group of several others got together and when I was in the Congress in 1948. We came up with a health care plan, which would look very, very conservative today. Congress and the medical profession said this is radicalism, so it is much report. You remember that, Elliot? You quoted from it.
Yes, it is.
What was it? It was Republic. We called it the Republicans. Who was the man in the magazine that worked with us on that? Russell Davenport.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Davenport was with us on. He was the guy who here we were punching out Congressman Chris, of course, was a lawyer. after we worked this thing out, I thought it was great. They killed him.
Now, the difficulty is that at the present time, the medical profession, when we were talking to them, AMA and all the rest of that time, they'll say, this is a medical program, this goes too far, and it's not going to, you've been sorry, what do you want? You want to do this? You want to do this? Or do you want to have nothing and have senators and congressmen go down that aisle and do what is popular? What is popular is to sink for the doctors. You know, the great majority of the American people today, if you really put down, are you for free medicine or not free medicine, or before it? Do you think doctors are overpaid? Yes. You know, they're happy to be wrong. Maybe it's supposed to count, but that's what they feel. So that is why Elliot's for and I call it that because it really is his. That's why this is enormous. It's an enormous opportunity for these people. And instead of dragging them, being kicked around, he's got a lot of them coming along. The medical profession. Well, we don't want them to be too evident in their support because it'll look like it's too selfish. But they sure as hell shouldn't kick us. Right? And they ought to, and they've got, as you know, a huge slush fund for congressmen and senators. And they ought to support congressmen and senators who are going to vote right on this stuff. Would you agree?
Yes, Mr. President.
You've been through this.
Oh, sure. Monty knows I spent 10 years in the house. Monty knew I was in the house. But I look forward to working with Dr. Duval in connection with winning support for your health program, not only on the supply side, but also on the question of the coverage side, because it is very comprehensive. It is a solid program. It is basically centrist in its philosophy. It eschews all of the troubles that you get into with the radical approach of Teddy Kennedy and with those who would say, let's do nothing. So Monty and I, I'm sure, will work very well together, Mr. President, in developing the strategy to win support.
Well, the main weakness of the Kennedy program is not its cost. And if the country decides that that's what the priority should be, you could find a way to finance it. The main weakness of the Kennedy approach is that it would destroy the system. It throws out the good with the bad. And so you can't do it. That's all.
Years ago, Mr. Stalin said, you'll never successfully socialize the United States to socialize their positions. There is, of course, a very good position. Of a type of free enterprise. I think that
they're all individual operators, except for those that, even when they get in their little clinics, they're still individuals.
But I believe that I'm only guessing, I can see, but I think you may be pleasantly and warmly surprised that they will begin to shift their position. And I believe that some things that I have in mind will be very helpful in moving them. They are very sensitive and they're prepared now to be led.
I think the main thing you could get across to them is that you can say this. They have now an administration that is friendly. We are their friends. We are not their enemies. We will not demagogue. We're not trying to destroy them. We're wanting to help them. But unless they work with us when they have their friends in, they'll reap the world and